Tab and Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Media day was yesterday. I got to spend some time with Zach LaVine.
How's Zach doing?
He's good. Said no restrictions. I'm ready to go, baby.
Do you have a few dollars for you? He's got a few extra in his account.
He's got a few extra in his account.
Good for him.
He was talking about adding to his classic car collection.
Nice.
Yes. That means we get to talk to Billy Donovan, who I've known for a long, long time. So great that he is the Bulls coach. And he's on the Cap J Hood Morning Show. Tommy Waddle in for Hoodie this morning. Billy, good morning. So basketball is back. How do you feel? Ready to go? The season is here. We're going.
Yeah, good morning, Cap. Yeah, we're excited. You know, obviously the off season, you know, I think we were able to, you know, get a lot of stuff done as a team, getting ready for this season, excited that we can officially start today. So everybody's looking forward to it and anxious to you know, get going. It's hard to believe a week from today we'll have our first preseason game. So we got a lot of work in front of us.
Coach, dive right into it. I mean, how do you handle the point guard position with Lonzo unavailable to start the season?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's unfortunate with Lonzo. I really feel bad for him just because this has obviously lingered on for a period of time. And, you know, I know for him, you know, just the frustration of not being able to play as much as he loves to play. I thought last year we really got great contributions from Io. I mean, he did an incredible job in a situation where we maybe didn't even know what his role would be to start the year with Alex Caruso and Lonzo being available. But both those guys out for half the year and Io being thrusted into what he was thrusted into, I mean, he did a great job. But, you know, I think we've got enough players back there. I'm more anxious to see, you know, how different combinations of players in training camp gel and mesh together. I think we have some luxuries with, you know, Kobe's played back there, Alex Caruso's played back there, Io's played back there, and then obviously adding Goran Dragic, who really, you know, has got great experience, great competitor, great leader. That helps us. So I think we can utilize it, a lot of different guys, but a lot is going to be, you know, how well different groups and players all work together.
Billy, when you look at Lonzo's situation, the question that we keep getting on the air, and I would love to hear an answer to this, why is he not having surgery until today if this has been lingering on in the spring? I had talked to someone close to him who said, yeah, he's still having a lot of pain in that knee. Why did this not get done earlier in the summer?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great question, Cap. It's a fair question. You know, obviously, myself as a coach, Arturis in the front office, you know, none of us are doctors, and we're obviously going off the recommendation. I think Lonzo has a team of doctors that are very talented, including our staff, you know, as well here in Chicago that have helped. There's been a lot of people kind of putting their, you know, head into this and trying to do everything they can to get him healthy. You know, the transition, the progression was obviously when he was ruled out for the rest of last season, you know, there was, and I think this is still the case today, was, you know, how do we continue to build up strength for him? So he was out in L.A. I went out there to visit him, and he made progress. He was getting better. But the rate at which, Cap, he was getting better was really slow. And I think that when it comes to a player that's coming off of surgery, what you want to try to do is give the player every opportunity to come back without doing another surgery. You know, and those are decisions that are made by the doctors, Lonzo's team, his representation, and we try to support it. I was out there in June with Lonzo and watched him go through some of the rehab process. He was with a great, great specialist that I had spoken to and sat down. He kind of educated me, and he was still having pain. But he was certainly better later in the summer than he was earlier. And then, obviously, you know, it's situations where, you know, the player's got to say so in this as well. And I think that, you know, him having a surgery back when he was with the Lakers, having another surgery now, you know, you want to give your body a chance to really try to recover from it. But I also know how much he missed playing, and at the pace it was going, you know, they opted to do it now. And I think Lonzo and everybody can feel good that he put everything he could to try to get himself back. And, you know, we're optimistic that this help, this next procedure will help and hopefully have him, you know, back at some point this season.
We're talking to Billy Donovan, the Bulls head coach. Media day was yesterday. We have a preseason game in a week. Hard to believe. But basketball is back. I've got to ask you about Zach LaVine. He's now healthy. He told me yesterday, hey, I'm 100%, man. I have no restrictions. I'm ready to go. I feel as good as I felt in a long time. Do you feel like he's a better player facilitating some with the ball in his hands, or is he a better player when he can be on the wing, either catch and shoot guy, put it on the deck, attack the rim?
You know what, Cap? He can do all those things at an elite level. You know, the thing that, again, you know, we obviously dealt with a lot last year with COVID and injuries. And, you know, Zach, to the best of his ability, I think gave the team, you know, our coaching staff, everything he could, you know, dealing with, you know, a ligament issue in his hand, dealing with constant lingering issues with his knee the entire season. And he lined up and tried to play. And it was clear seeing him the year before, his athleticism, his speed and his bounce, he didn't always have it. And, you know, I think that going through what he went through in the offseason, how he trained, he looks great physically. But I think the biggest thing for Zach is he is so explosive and he creates and garners so much attention. We need him out in transition, you know, to get him the ball, because I think the one thing for great offensive players that they need to be really effective is space. And with his speed, getting out in transition and attacking is good. I think him with the ball in his hands, where he's making quick, decisive decisions, he's always been an extremely unselfish player, Cap. He'll make the extra pass. He'll throw it to the open man. He tries to play the right way. I think the biggest thing for Zach is when I first got here, there was so much on his plate, and then the roster kind of flipped last year, and there was more offensive weapons around him. It's just Zach, being aggressive, making quick, decisive decisions, putting himself in situations where he's not playing against a loaded floor and he can attack and get downhill or take his shot. Certainly, he was the best shooter last year, even dealing with his knee issues, catch and shoot threes in the league. He shot an incredible percentage. So him taking shots when he's open and being decisive is really what we need from him.
Coach, what are your expectations for Patrick Williams this year? Tantalizing, you know, potential. Is he ready to take on a larger role and have more expected of him?
Yeah, you know, it's and Patrick is a great guy. He's a team-oriented guy. And I think when he first came here, being, you know, 18, 19 years old, he may have been the youngest player in the NBA. The thing that's been a challenge for him has been what he walked into when he came here. His rookie year, no summer league, short in training camp. I think that impacted, you know, his development. Now he's trying to learn the NBA game. He has a pretty good, I think a really good off season last year, played really well in summer league. Then he gets an ankle sprain. He misses summer training camp. The ninth game into the season, he breaks his wrist. He's out for 5 months. There have just been some circumstances around his development that I think have probably not allowed him, in my opinion, to grow at the level that maybe he's capable of. I do think that this was a really good offseason for him. I think he understands that he's got to take a step for our team. I think he wants to do that. I know he's got the support of our staff and the players. But I also try to, you know, look at what he's been through the last 2 years. It's just not been a normal two-year process for a player that's just come into the NBA with COVID and then that injury. The thing I was encouraged about at the end of the year is being out for 5 months and playing the way he did the last 10 or 12 games of the regular season and then how he played in the playoffs, that gave me a lot of hope that he can take another step right now.
Does he have to be more assertive? And how difficult is that for a young player when you have accomplished guys like DeMar and Zach and even Lonzo when he's available as well on the floor?
Oh, I think that that's a big factor, because I think that, you know, Patrick started from day one. And, you know, we got him back into the lineup, you know, after he came back from his wrist injury. The hardest thing for a young player when you're playing with veteran guys and guys, you know, that have been around the league, it's when do I shoot, when do I pass, when do I drive, how and when and where am I really aggressive? And he's, I think, learning that, and that's been a process for him. And I think the more he's in these situations, and he's played obviously a good number of games his rookie year, and you know, we got him some good, I think, experience at the end of the year with coming back off the wrist injury. But that's the challenge for him, is him picking his spots and knowing what to do. And he's got to be aggressive when he has opportunities to do that. He's going to make some mistakes. He's going to do some things that he wishes would have had it back. But that's part of the growth and development of a young player, you know, is you don't want him out there just trying to be aggressive every single time he catches the ball. And you want him playing inside a framework where he's not only helping himself, but he's helping his teammates. And finding that balance is something that he's going to have to continue to grow in.
And before we let you go, when I talked to Zach yesterday, I asked him about Nikola Vucevic. I'm a fan of how he plays. I like guys who can, A, stretch the floor, but I think you're also a really good team when you run some of your offensive sets through him. Here was Zach's quote when I asked him about Nick. He said he's so instrumental to what we do because he can space the floor. He's one of the best shooting big guys in the league. He's offensively skilled. He had a great offseason, and he's looking poised to have a big year. And he also talked about his ability to pass. He's also a guy that some of the fan base, when he struggled shooting the ball in the postseason, was critical of. Can you talk about his role and what he means to your team?
Yeah, you know what, Cap, like even last year, you know, going into last year, I think that a lot of us didn't really know what to expect. You know, there was a lot of speculation of whether or not DeMar would be a good fit for this group, how they'd all gel and mesh. You know, Vooch is coming in, Zach, you know, we added all these new players. The roster was totally different. And, you know, I think one of the reasons why Vooch wanted to come to Chicago was, you know, to play with players like DeMar and Zach and some of these guys. And he was the focal featured guy every single possession down the floor in Orlando, and rightfully so. But he also knew that he needed some help. I think it was a huge adjustment for him, you know, just going from a guy that was just force-fed the ball all the time. And I really – it's interesting, Cap, when you look at his numbers from a year ago, he got as good a shot he's ever gotten in his career. I think it was just an adjustment of, you know, you go through four or five possessions, you don't get a shot, now you get it, now you got to shoot it. And he certainly needs other guys to manufacture things for him. I do think that he was the one guy that sacrificed quite a bit for the benefit of our team. And I think he'll be better now that there's at least some information that he has personally playing with all these guys. So I agree with Zach. He's a key to our team. He does so many different things. When he's playing really well, our deep team obviously plays well. And I think the more that we can get him in those facilitating roles, I think the better it is. I think he is more than just a stretch big man. He can play closer to the basket. He certainly can pass and facilitate. He's good in the pocket area when he gets it off pick and roll. And I think it was a matter of him getting really comfortable playing, you know, totally differently than maybe he played his first, you know, 8 or 9 years with Orlando.
Appreciate you taking time for us as we let you go. How was your trip to Slovenia? Because Goran said yesterday, man, that spoke so loudly to me that my head coach got on a plane and came here to visit me. He wasn't trying to sign me. He was trying to coach me. He loved it. How was that trip?
You know, it was great. So what I did, Cap, is I ended up going from Summer League. I left a few days early. I went to Montenegro, and I spent a couple days with Vooch in Montenegro, which was an awesome experience, and got a chance to meet, you know, I'd met his parents before, but I got a chance to see his parents and his family in their setting. Beautiful country right on the Adriatic Sea. I was there for a couple days, and I jumped on a flight, went to Slovenia. It was great being around Goran. He was running a camp. He had both of his young kids were there. I had a chance to meet his parents. We went out and grabbed dinner. I just enjoyed the trip. Both countries were beautiful. It was a great experience. I'd never been to Slovenia or Montenegro, so it was a lot of fun, and those two guys took great care of me while I was there.
Appreciate you taking time. Look forward to seeing you soon, and have a great season, okay?
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you.
Talk to you again. There he is, Billy Donovan, head basketball coach of the Chicago Bulls, right here on ESPN 1000. Don't forget, worst weekends are coming up at 9:35. You've never played worst
weekend. No, I have not.
It's a lot of fun. We've got that coming up. More of your calls next.
Color commentator, play-by-play announcer, producer, analyst. These are just a handful of careers in the sports media industry. Live sports run the world, and in order for live sports to be successful, there are tons of people like you with a passion working behind the scenes to make your viewing experiences as good as being at the game. There are countless positions and opportunities involving sports media, and there is no better place to get the training you need to get into this field than Illinois Media School in Lombard. With over 30 years of experience in broadcast career training, there are thousands of graduates that started where you are with just a passion and no experience. Today, the Be On Air Network has thousands of graduates working across the country. We make it easy for you to do what you love with one call to the Illinois Media School Lombard. You could go from the couch to the sidelines. Call Illinois Media School Lombard now at 630-916-1700. That's 630-916-1700, or visit beonair.com.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Welcome back on the Cap Jay Hood Morning Show. Hoodie is probably...
I bet he's warm.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
I got to tell you, I've been catching a lot of heat from people inside, all warmed up, want to know why I can't handle the cold.
Yeah, except where are they?
Well, that's the point. Yeah, that's why I said what I said. Yeah.
Why don't you make them sit and have their little meeting right
out here? By the way, you used to play out in all this. Yeah, I was 25 years old. That was 30 years ago, and I had circulation in my body.
Yeah, and for all the... Like snoring back there, Shay, our second producer.
Shay's not complaining or not making fun of us.
Snorling doesn't want a domed stadium because football's meant to be outside with bear weather.
Well, I respectfully disagree.
It's not true. I issued a retraction for that statement, Cap.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, listening's a skill.
There you go. Listening's a skill.
I heard a more arrogant 27-year-old. My God.
Yeah, I have. I have. Shay, you're all good with me, buddy. We're all good.
Appreciate that, Tom.
Yeah. Bear weather, by the way, is a myth. Bears go inside when it gets really cold.
Correct. Every time we have bear weather, all I know is we lose. Like the 49ers rolled in here in 88, beat us 28-3 in the NFC title.
I was at this year's 49ers game. It was alumni weekend, and I got to tell you, that was
not
pleasant. I was miserable as a spectator.
Yes.
Miserable.
Yes.
I never enjoyed playing in that crap either. And by the way, I've always said this, and people always giving me hell about it, like the elements. You know, when I see the greatest in the world doing what they do on a football field, I don't want Mother Nature to get involved.
Correct.
I want to see these guys do what they do unaffected by the weather around them. Freezing my ass off even now. Sun's out. I'm still cold.
Sun's out. Guns out. Anyway, 312-332-3776. Go to Chase on the south side. We've been talking Bears. We just had Billy Donovan on.
See, you're freezing now, too.
I made the mistake of
going inside.
You
lost your breath because... I know.
I went inside and I got warm for a second.
Yeah.
I
couldn't even get through the Illinois Media School read without thinking I was going to lose my breath. Jeez.
You know what the smart thing would do? Turn on the air conditioning, stand in it, and then come over here and you'd be actually warmer. Chase, what's going on there, Sparkles?
David, man, you're a captain. What's up, man?
What up, dog?
What's up, Mr. Waddle?
How we doing today?
Oh, come on. Why do I get that kind of grief? Come on, man. I thought you were supposed to be your boy, man.
What's up, Chase?
Oh, man.
Is that better?
That's terrible.
What do you want me to do? I'm freezing my ass off.
Come on. All right. But I'll make this quick for y'all. Listen, you know, we talk a lot about the Bears off bad, which is understandable about the quarterback. But I'm going to be honest. There's one thing we haven't mentioned since, you know, that we haven't mentioned anything is the defense hasn't looked that good. I mean, they can't stop the run, and I'm a little worried about our pass rush because Hey, Wild, do you remember Sylvie made a point about Robert Quinn? About one of the things that he was worried about was that his trade value, and I got to ask you an opinion about that. Because Robert Quinn hasn't played well this season. And if this continues, where say the Bears fall out of playoff contention and the trade deadline come around and he isn't playing well, are you worried that he could use his trade value could go down if his production don't get better as the season progresses?
Well, I think people understand he's an established talent. So, would you get a little bit more if he had had five sacks at the trade deadline versus two or three? Maybe so. But if you're trading for a pass rusher and Robert Quinn's available, I mean, you're going to look at his body of work, not just what's gone on the last few weeks, as long as he's healthy. So, I think a lot of their issues defensively, like they haven't been dominant. What they've done is they've taken the ball away in key moments. If you go back to the Texans game, Davis Mills probably threw for, what, 250? Like Pierce was running the ball.
I don't think he
230?
Threw. I'll tell you right now.
And I think they were running the ball up until I think they made some nice adjustments in the second half, but they were running the ball pretty effectively. The two takeaways made an enormous difference. The one takeaway was the ball was snapped at the 7-yard line. It was an interception in the end zone. And then the interception that basically gave the game to the Bears was, I think that started at the 25, the Texans' own 25. So when you take the ball away, not only is it, it's important, but where you take it away also has a factor as well.
You're correct. Davis Mills, 20 of 32 for 245, a tutty and two picks. Sacked once.
Yeah, so, they've given up some yardage, but, again, I think the difference in the San Francisco game, and there was a lot of things there, too, but the takeaways were key.
Okay, I want to change gears for a second. Would you call it a mistake of being a youngin' or an olden if you lock yourself out of the house?
I think that's probably an old person mistake.
I thought it was a young person mistake. Snorling locked himself out of his house.
Let's get into this here. I was taking the dog for a walk after he ate his dinner last night. I walked out without the keys in my pocket and turned around to open the door, get my keys. The door was locked. And usually I have a lockbox out front, but I had my parents in town over the weekend, so my dad was using it. He didn't put the lockbox keys back into the lockbox, so I had no way of getting into my house.
Shay, my first thought was that the door being locked as it closes is an old person thing versus a young person thing. I think I was more reluctant to lock the doors when I was younger versus when I'm older. So that's why my response was, if you've made a mistake on that front, it's probably an old mistake versus a young mistake.
Yeah, I usually don't lock the door when I leave. I don't know why I did that yesterday. It was like a muscle thing.
Why don't you get a keypad lock? Or do you not own? You rent, right?
No, we own, but like what? The keypad lock's ridiculous. I already have the keys in a lockbox. I should just remember my keys. I feel like that's easier than the keypad lock.
The keypad lock is clutch.
I don't have that on my front door.
You don't?
No, I don't.
Well, yeah, but you have someone that opens your doors for you and all of that.
That's garbage. That's horse manure, so you can stop going down that road. I don't have the summer home. I don't have the lake house. I don't have the boat. I don't have the Corvette.
Yeah, take that, Cap.
Oh, you gave that up, huh?
Like many years, 8 years ago.
Like, I don't have the second house.
Yeah, because you can land a plane at the one you got.
That's not true. There's no planes landing there. I don't have a boat.
That house is awesome.
I don't have a boat. Do you have a boat?
I have a pontoon.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
So you need to stop slinging arrows this way.
So, Snorling, how'd you get in the house?
Broke a window.
When my wife is at work, luckily she saw her phone when I texted her, and then one of our very great friends who lives down in the loop right near where she works drove over to get the keys from her and then drove up to the north side to my place and let me in.
Wow.
Put a lot of people through some stuff. Boys, you look like you are freezing, I got to say, and it sounds like it's getting windier. You boys look like you're in an icebox.
Yeah, you would think that it would have, as the day has rolled on, it would have gotten warmer, but I think the wind has kept the temperature low.
Yes. It's a little chilly. Huh?
Yeah, well, now you're starting to feel it, huh? when you shed those 35 pounds, that extra insulation could have kept you warm today.
I made the mistake of going inside where the entire staff is gathered.
Because why would they sit out here and freeze their asses
right.
off?
So right. I went in there, and I'm like, oh, It's nice and warm in here.
And I come out, it's colder because I got warm.
Mistake.
Well, good thing the live audience is sitting outside with us, watching us do this show, is the reason why we're sitting outside, right?
That is correct. We're entertaining.
There's nobody here.
312-332-3776 is our phone number.
I think Carmen, it just pulled a muscle shivering.
Carmen and the good kid are at 10. Meller and Aki are at noon. Tyler Aki. Then Waddle and Jay Hood will be 2
no,
until 6.
Sylvie.
I mean, Sylvie and Jay Hood. I was looking at you as I said that. Sylvie and Jay Hood at 2 to 6 into White Sox baseball as they take on the Minnesota Twins.
Who are
Twins.
These White Sox you speak of?
A team that completely has gagged their way out of the season. Anyway, we are going to play Worst Weekends. That is coming up next. We're at the Sanctuary Golf Course. It's brought to you by Club Hawthorne and PointsBet and some of our other awesome sponsors here for the ESPN 1000 Open, American Sail, Shady Rays, Tito's Handmade Vodka, Lou Malnati's Pizzeria, Blue Chew, and my guys at SEO Level Up. If you need search engine optimization, they are your go-to partner. Be right back.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. Swept by the Pirates?
We can only ask or wonder that he is asking some departed relative for forgiveness for this atrocious performance.
Falling in an outhouse? Or maybe a dose of instant karma.
The evidence would lead me to believe that he did not break the plane before getting rid of the ball. And who knows what's going on inside that helmet.
It's time to find out who had the worst weekend on Cap'n J-Hood.
This is a snorling creation. Hoodie and I have so much fun with Worst Weekends. Tom Waddle's in for Hoodie right now. Hoodie will work with Sylvie this afternoon. We're at the ESPN 1000 Open here at the Sanctuary Golf Course in New Lenox. Snorling, good morning.
Good morning. Is it getting any warmer for you? It sounds like it's getting windier.
Not really.
It's a little windy. Yes, the wind is howling off the body of water here known as Lake Sanctuary. What do you got?
All right, I have an all-NFL worst weekends. A couple of one of them really is tough because the team won the game. But I want to start with Jimmy Garoppolo, who joined Dan Orlovsky in infamy after he ran out of the end zone causing a safety. And that play ended up being the reason the 49ers lost, basically.
That, I'm not going to say that's exactly why they lost. I mean, they just don't look.
Are we supposed to vote on who had the worst weekend?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. So we have a few candidates. But
the funny thing is he also, when he threw the ball, it was intercepted and brought back. Had it not been whistled dead, it would have been a pick six as well. But as soon as you step out of the back of the end zone and it's a safety, the play is officially, it's dead.
Dead.
Correct. So actually he cost his team, you could say, he cost his team 9 points.
Net positive.
Yeah.
He's a meh player. He's okay.
That was one of the worst games I've seen. I think last night's game was not quite as bad, but that Sunday night game was just horrible to watch.
Awful football.
I gotta say, guys, like the first 3 weeks, there were some really exciting games in week one.
Oh, how about that? And was it the Ravens, 42-38?
Yeah. That was awesome. I mean, the Dolphins, Bill's game had some intrigue in it as well.
The Colts had intrigue.
But I think that honestly, the last couple of weeks, there's been more garbage than there's been good stuff.
Week three in particular, I thought was awful.
Awful. Some bad football being played collectively at this point.
Go ahead, Shay.
All right, the second is going to be Thomas Morstead for the butt punt. Now, it ended up not killing the Dolphins. They did win the game, but they joined Mark Sanchez in infamy, and now the butt punt will live on next to the butt fumble.
Yeah, that was – you talk about a lack of awareness. Like, guys, like that's got to be what you're talking
Their
about.
Their special teams coach spoke yesterday and said, I know people are laughing. I don't find it funny at all. He thinks it's just an awful play, and
it is very
critical.
Yeah. I mean, they're football coaches. Like, they have no sense of humor to begin with.
That is correct.
but like, and I don't know who was doing the game television wise, but whoever was the color commentator actually said, you have to be careful here because there is, you know, instead of having 15 yards between the ball and the punter, it's like 10 or 12.
You're pinned.
Yeah, and then wouldn't you know that that's what ended up happening.
Yep. Go ahead, Chase.
All right, Bills offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey got caught having an epic meltdown in the booth after the Bills failed to line up and get a spike in time to attempt a game-winning field goal. He smashed his computer with his headphones and pretty much punched the desk multiple times.
I give him a bill for all of that. If you're the, because they were the Bills have to pay for that, right?
Correct.
To give the Bills a bill. Like
correct.
If you're the Dolphins.
Yeah, I would call him in.
Stadium
say,
ops. You got to, hey, by the way, you owe us 15 grand.
Yeah, I would absolutely call him and go, dude, I get that you're upset. You want to slam your headphone down once? Cool. To go just nuclear
who
on
cares?
All the equipment. Come on.
Who cares? And by the way, like 9 times out of 10, nobody even sees that because it's not being filmed.
Correct.
Here's an interesting thought for you, though. We talked about this the other day. The Dolphins in Hard Rock Stadium are always covered, or at least they're in the shade. The opponents are always in the sun. Mm-hmm. There's no shade for them. Why aren't opposing teams bringing in canopies or tents to give them a little relief from the sun?
That's a great question for the good kid, because I remember when Mitch was still the quarterback. We were rolling in there.
The glory days, right?
The glory days.
Yeah.
Correct.
When you were cuddling, you know, theoretically or, you know, just not actually, but you were cuddling Mitch. You were holding him close to your heart.
Whatever.
Were those the moments?
The good kid said, I was going to bet the Bears to beat the Dolphins. And the good kid said, kid, it's late September in Florida. The Bears will run out of gas in the sun because they're on the other side of the field, and that's exactly what happened. He was 100% right. Shay.
All right, Tom Brady makes the list for worst weekends, not just because he lost and he failed the two-point conversion after the very odd calling an audible on a two-point conversion, getting a delay of game, backing yourself up, and then not making the pass, but actually because he was very hopeful his wife, Gisele Bündchen, would be in attendance at Bucks-Packers. She sent the kids, and she stayed home. There might be trouble in paradise.
Yeah, doesn't sound like he's...
I stay out of people's purse.
Getting
business.
Any nookie with the supermodel wife all of a sudden. She was living in Costa Rica for like a month at their estate down there. They have a big-time place down in Costa Rica. Sounds like there's trouble in paradise there.
Yeah, I think this is his last year. I mean, look, I would never put anything past him. Maybe he wants to continue to play, but I don't even think he's around the facility on Wednesdays anymore, is he? Or
no,
is
he
back now because she's not there?
He actually showed up to practice last Wednesday and just said, yeah, time to go to work. I think the comment, Shay, you remember Hoodie and I were talking about this with you and with JR when he said, yeah, I'm going to retire and spend time with the family. And then after 5 weeks, he said, yeah, I spent time with the family. I'm back now.
Yeah, like MJ was picking his kids up at the bus stop as well or taking them to school or whatever he said he was going
to
do.
On his way to the golf course to go play. Yeah.
Well, I get it came out before the Saints game that Tom wouldn't practice on Wednesdays. And it goes out against the Saints. He's 18 of 34, under 200 yards, one touchdown.
I need to practice.
I'm going to practice.
Yeah.
If my marriage falls apart, so be it. 18 of 34 ain't happening again.
I got to tell you, though, over the course of the season, I think he'll be able to compartmentalize that. He needs to get his weapons back in his offensive huddle.
Yeah.
That guy could keep his mind on football alone and still get to where he wants to go.
No question. Do you got any others?
Those are the four I have listed here, Kaplan.
All right.
I was going to include myself locking myself out of the house right ahead of Monday Night Football, but that was teased a little early.
What was the first one?
Jimmy Garoppolo running out of the end zone.
I think
He was awful.
But he was as bad as anybody.
Showing up with the chip on your shoulder and then just laying an egg like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was awful.
Yeah, I would have to say the worst weekend, though, is Tom Brady.
Because his wife wasn't at the game?
I mean, he's got...
He's Tom Brady.
Trouble in paradise.
He's Tom Brady.
Doesn't matter.
He's Tom Brady.
He's got a supermodel wife who wants nothing to do with him.
Well, guess what? My guess is he could find another supermodel wife if, in fact, this relationship dissolves.
That's not that easy. Take it from someone who's gone through
You're
it.
Not Tom Brady.
I'm not saying
offense.
I am. But divorce is not an easy thing.
I'm not saying it is, but to suggest that you and Tom Brady are on the same
level. Suggested that. All I said was, he's got a family. He's built a beautiful, loving family with kids, with his wife.
I get it.
And
I'm not minimizing this.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go hang in Costa Rica because you're a jag for coming back to play.
He's Tom Brady.
Apparently, she's not that interested.
There's no such thing as a bad weekend if you're Tom Brady.
I don't know if I agree with that.
I don't think Tom Brady would agree with that, Tom. All the weekends he lost Super Bowls, he would tell you the worst of his life, probably.
That's exactly right.
No, he's Tom Brady.
Okay, so who's the worst weekend?
They think Jimmy had the worst weekend.
Jimmy, Brady, what were the other two? Just say the candidates again.
Ken Dorsey and then Thomas Morstead for the butt punt.
This is nothing new for Tom Brady. Like, I mean, this trouble in paradise has been going on for quite some time, right?
Ken Dorsey, that's just a stupid one. If we had a bad show and we smashed a bunch of the microphones, Keith and Danny would come in here and go, yeah, that's coming out of your pay. And rightly so.
Listen, Jimmy Garoppolo, everyone welcomed him back into the huddle with open arms. And everyone was like, all right, here we go. We're on our way to another NFC title game. And he stepped out of the back of the end zone after having a horrible game. Listen, I'm usually a Jimmy G guy. I think he had the worst week.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Tom Brady 1 and the punter 2 because he's going to live in infamy for the butt punt.
He's Tom
Brady.
He's got
to deal with that.
He's Tom Brady.
Doesn't matter. He's got a supermodel, wants nothing to do with his... You know what I'm saying.
He's 312-332-3776.
The Cap of Jay Hood, Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Cut of the day. Next.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Rock and roll, Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show, weekday 7 to 10. Tommy Waddle with me today. Hoodie's working with Sylvie in the afternoon. Carmen Yerk are next. The good kid's in shorts. The good kid is an impressive specimen.
Yeah, he
man.
Just came out here telling us we were soft.
Yeah.
Like pudding. Soft like pudding. Yeah. And you're going to be holding your radio partner for 2 hours here in a minute.
Yeah.
Because Carm's already shivering.
Meller and Tyler Aki at noon, and then the Sylvie and Jay Hood experience, 2-6 into White Sox baseball as they battle the Twins up in Minnesota. It's time for the Cap and Jay Hood. Chicago Cut Steakhouse, cut of the day.
Yo. Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right.
So we got a full rack of calls. That's what we do in the morning. And
I don't know. What do you like? You look at me like saying, that's what we do in the morning. Like
we take a lot of calls.
I know we're a sports talk radio show. That's what we all do.
Well, you guys also have some really compelling guests.
I know, but it's like, hey, you cornered the market and taking a phone call from somebody out in Burr Ridge.
No. But Jake just said to me, yeah, get to Jesus in Fort Bragg.
Oh, no, no, no.
I believe his name is.
I said Jesus or Jesus.
Yeah.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
That's brought to you by our friends David Flom and Matt Moore at Chicago Cut Steakhouse. I'm highlighting today the mint Oreo ice cream pie. It is spectacular.
Everything's
carrot cake,
there.
The tiramisu, all great. But the mint Oreo ice cream pie for dessert, oh, my goodness.
The ambiance, second to none as well.
Second to none.
By the way, I want to stay.
Nice, go out on the patio.
Speak on behalf of Jake. Jake didn't, you know, he wasn't doing anything wrong there. Jake said, you know, send it out to Jesus. That's what he said. We got to go out to Jesus at first. You were they're hanging him out to dry over there.
Yeah, I gave both options.
Yes, you did.
Yeah,
you
I have, that's my job. Yeah.
Said Jesus or Jesus.
Well, but he said Jesus first.
Could have only been Jesus? We don't know.
Right.
What if he came on and said, it's Jesus, not Jesus?
Right.
I would give you a crisp $20 bill if he had
No,
said
you wouldn't. That. You are not giving money away for that.
You don't even have cash.
Right.
I actually do have money with me today. That's right.
What
normally,
you,
my
what are you paying for? You expecting to lose some cash on the golf course today?
Maybe. Normally, I set my cash on the island in the kitchen. I don't have a lot. I'm not the good kid who walks around like he's
Stoichkis,
you know,
everywhere,
like
coming out his ears.
Yeah. And every day, Mindy's like, "You have any cash? I'll take that." And she grabs it. And
see,
so
it's
I never
the other way cash. From in my house. My wife's usually got a couple of 20s on her, and I have to ask her for money because I don't normally carry cash. So it's a little different. But I don't leave money in a big dish in the kitchen. I don't.
I just leave it on the island right there.
Yeah.
And she always takes it.
Maybe you shouldn't leave it right there in that dish on the island.
Probably should. It's not in a dish.
Okay.
Yeah. But maybe I should. Maybe I shouldn't. Whatever the case may be.
But then again, you know, you got a second house and a boat. You just got money flying all over the house. So you put it wherever you want it.
Really?
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 Yeah, really. You do have a second house and a boat. Really?
Did either you guys watch Aaron Judge last night?
No.
No interest, Tommy?
You know what? I was trying to get some sleep, Murk, because I knew I had to get up early, and I was watching a horrible football game.
Okay, he was on at 6, so it would have been on right during the football.
That's true. I was eating dinner.
Okay.
Murk, are you watching like every at bat?
Every at bat. My son and I are watching
every
at bat. Yes, every at bat.
I just said, Merck, I'd like to know when the Giants team home run record is in peril. Let me know because I want to catch that one too.
Wow. This is the more impressive record, breaking Roger Maris' record.
How about that he is a leadoff hitter doing that?
Well, I think the most impressive part of it is he's got a really good chance to win the Triple Crown.
The game has evolved to the point where if you go back to when they were using – when Roger Maris, I think, was hitting 5th. When he did what he did, you go back and look, like Tony Kubek had an OPS plus of 95. That's below league average. He was hitting up 2nd or 1st in the order. Like, the game has evolved to a different level.
By the way, there has been 73 home runs hit in a season as well, just so everybody knows that.
Those were fraudulent.
How do you know what's fraudulent, what's not fraudulent?
Because that guy's hat size grew a size and a half.
Yeah.
Because he was taking illegal substances.
Do you know that the guys throwing him the baseball weren't taking it?
It doesn't matter.
Do you know who's cheating now and who isn't cheating?
Well, I know that the testing processes are much more intense.
Guess what? The cheaters are usually ahead of the testers.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Barry Bonds is a crook. He is not the all-time home run leader.
Yes, he is.
Hank Aaron is. My kids were raised that it's Hank Aaron.
Well, yeah, I guess your kids are more pure than mine then, because my kids were raised that Barry Bonds is the home run. Right. And by the way, my kids don't care, but
my kids do. Yes, and they were raised that it's Hank Aaron.
So you're raising your kids based on, you know, morality attached to baseball. That's a good parenting key.
It's just one small snippet of their sports fandom.
Yeah.
You're better than that.
Barry telling
Bonds.
Me.
What a jackass that guy.
How do you know who was doing what?
I know
you
he
don't
was.
Know.
I know
you
he
know.
Was.
You don't know who's doing what. You don't know who's clean and who's not clean. You don't know today. You didn't know then. You have no idea.
I know
you're
that.
You're just sitting here making assumptions.
No, I know that he was dirty.
He still hit 73 baseballs out of the building.
Yeah, dirty bastard. He cheated.
Whoever was pitching to him could have been dirty.
Huh. Is your guy in the Hall of Fame? Doesn't look like it to me.
That doesn't, like, this wasn't a Hall of Fame conversation. This was about who's hit the most home runs in a season.
He's a crook.
This isn't about being a crook. The home run record in a season is 73.
Yeah.
Barry Bonds did it.
I'm going to pass on that one. Thank you.
Well, you know, I'm glad you raised your kids better than I raised my kids based on who you recognize as the home run king. Turd.
I will make a prediction. It's
really? Now we're name calling.
Yeah, we are.
Wow.
What's that, Mert?
Jose Berrios is on the mound for the Blue Jays. He gives up a lot of home runs. So I think Judge will finally do it tonight. 26 at bats without a home run for Judge right now.
Yeah, he got mad that they walked him in the ninth last night, or the 10th. Hey, we got a roll. Carmen Yerk are next. We're at the ESPN 1000. Open, Tommy, it was a lot of fun, man.
Thanks for having me, buddy.
Enjoyed it. Jake, great job out here, buddy. Snorling and Merkin, well done. We will continue the fun and frivolity with Carmen and Yerko next.